Good evening.
Good morning.
Yeah, I figured I said good morning when it was evening, so I'd say evening when it's morning. Good morning and welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 to 8 say this: when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. And she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loin coverings. And then they heard the sound of the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, that's Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, as he did every day, to come and teach them about the word. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. We know what happened to Adam and Eve through their surrender to Satan. Something spiritual happened inside of them. A change took place in their very nature. The Lord God had made them perfect. He had made them for union with himself, unity. He made them in the likeness of himself. He had made them completely dependent on him. He had made them require total faith in him. He made them for a relationship with him. Then their rebellion changed everything. They began to live for themselves. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Then the Lord God called to the man Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" The omniscient God knew where he was. Genesis 3:10. Adam said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." And so it is with our imperfections. We begin to think that we have to hide from God. We begin to think that we can hide from God, but we can't. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, "There's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have much to do." He is the omnipresent and omniscient God, and everything is laid bare to him in the matter of us. Satan, the enemy of God, offers disunity, independence, and a broken relationship with God. We come in completely dependent. We go out most of the time completely dependent. And then that middle part, we're supposed to be completely dependent. And what do? We go rogue. We go independent. We go off the reservation. We think that we have to handle everything when God wants to handle everything. And that's because Satan encourages us to disunity, to independence, and to a broken relationship with our God. He wants us to cover our own imperfection by eye-washing the world. He wants us to sow fig leaves and put them on. He wants us to cover our own iniquities, which of course we can't do. So when we think of our spiritual lives, it is not the externals and the religious rituals that should concern us, not the ways that we can deceive others and cover. We must be concerned about our very core, the inside, for it is the inside that God is working on. You see, we can deceive people and easily cover our total depravity and shape the thoughts of others. I don't want them to think. And that's a perception, not a reality. And we like doing all those kinds of things. We like living in the middle, living in the gray area, never committing to one side or the other. But God is someone that we can't hide from. And what God wants is the heart. Mark chapter 12, verse 30, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength." That's all God wants, is all. And when we come to study the Word of God, it is to allow God to renovate our hearts. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, "The goal of our instruction," this is Paul talking to Timothy, "the goal of our instruction," and he's talking about he and Timothy collectively as pastors, "is to help you reflect unconditional love from a pure heart and from a good conscience and from a sincere faith." That's all God wants from you, all. All your heart, all your conscience, all your faith, all your trust, all your dependence, all. So when we live this life, we are living a life in obedience to Christ, which is the real Christian way of living. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15 say this, "For the unconditional love of Christ controls us, believers in Christ, having concluded this, that Christ died for all. Therefore, all believers died when Christ died." 2 Corinthians 5, 15, "And the Lord Jesus Christ died for all, so that they who live, believers in Christ, might no longer live for themselves, but that they might live for him who died and rose again on their behalf." Welcome to a place where God can work on your insides, because that's what God wants. That's all he wants, is your heart. And so the opening song today talks about holy. The song is "Holy is the Lord," and that is exactly the life that the Lord wants his believers to live, a holy life. Because he wants us to be holy as he is holy. "Holy is the Lord" by Chris Tomlin. Thank you.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he? And together we sing. Holy is the Lord God.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for making us holy. Thank you for making us worthy because of our union with your Son. Thank you for sending your Son to die on a cross for us, shedding his blood for the payment of our sins. And thank you for proving that the Lord is God by resurrecting him from the dead. Help us to notice how you are changing us inside, and help us to embrace it by being obedient to your every request. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's study, God is cleaning up our acts from the inside. God is cleaning up our acts from the inside. Psalm 51, verse 6 says this, "Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom." Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. God is not interested in us being cover artists. God is not interested in us being phonies. We continue our study of Paul's letter to the believers in Christ at first century Rome, a letter that is all about our salvation as believers in Christ. And the first 8 chapters of the book build to a crescendo that introduces us to our mentor, our guide, and our teacher, God the Holy Spirit. You know, this book in the next 3 chapters, 9, 10, and 11, will take a side trip to say, okay, now we know what God expects of the Gentiles, but what about the Jews? Did he forget about the Jews? And then it comes back in chapters 12 to 16 and tells us the do's and don'ts of the Christian way of life. So right now we are at that home port for the Christian, where we are starting to realize that God the Holy Spirit is in charge of our sanctification, and we're starting to realize our deep dependence on him. And he's starting to show us inside all of the things that are interfering with the relationship that he's trying to build for us with him and the rest of the Godhead. So before studying Paul's letter to the Romans, personally, I felt like I had lost my conscience. That the conscience is that part of the soul where we experience guilt. And it is the I should place of the soul. And we can only I should, we only say I should when we know that we're dead wrong about something. And when we're wrong, we say, well, I know I should. I know I should be going to the gym. I know I shouldn't be eating that sugar crisp like I did this morning. I know I should put down that donut. We know what is supportive of us and what is not. And I feel like I had lost my conscience, because we can only I should when we know right from wrong and we're not doing it. I should clearly states that there is a thing I should be doing, and frankly, I'm not. I had lost my sense of right and wrong. Now, there were some good things about that. It helped me to realize that there was a life beyond right and wrong, and it helped me get off of my own back, because for most of my life, I have been an I should guy. And not so much because I was doing things wrong, but because I wasn't meeting my own expectations, which is another reason that I should. So, but I had lost my sense of right and wrong, and that's not to say that I had become a criminal, but it is to say that I had become an expert in excusing my own conduct in my own mind. Now, don't be mistaken, the Christian way of living is a lifestyle that goes well beyond mere right and wrong. But as we remember from the end of Romans chapter 5 and the start of Romans chapter 6, the Mosaic law came in from God. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 20. The Mosaic law came in from God so that the transgression would increase, so that we would know that we were sinners and needed a Savior. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. When God sees sin, his reaction to sin is graciousness, Romans 5:21. So that, just as sin reigned as sovereign, resulting in death, Even so, grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you look at Romans 5:21, you see the two categories of beings. You see the one for whom sin is sovereign, the unbeliever, and that person is headed for the second death. And you see the person who has accepted the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you see that person who has a future of reigning through the righteousness that has been given to him to eternal life, to the resurrection life, to the Zoe life, through the agency of Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ is our agent in the matter of salvation. Romans 6:1. So what shall we believers in Christ say then? Now that we know that sin, that the law increases the transgression and God's grace abounds all the more to that place, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Romans 6:2. May it never be. Absolutely not, not know how, not never. How shall we, believers in Christ, who died to sin and we are dead to sin, still live in it? Romans 6:3. Or do you not know? Are you ignorant? That all of us who have been baptized into union with Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. The first thing that happens to us when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit and we are placed into union with Christ is we are immediately identified with death. And everything in us that is horrible, including the flesh, goes to that cross with Jesus Christ and dies. And that's a marvelous thing. Now, I know that God is cleaning up my act for me. I know that God is cleaning up your act for you, believers in Christ. And as he does, he is making me acutely aware of everything evil in me. In other words, I have my conscience back. And I wish it would go back where it was, honestly. Because you know when you go through that period of time where you're thinking about all the things that you do wrong, I'm in one of those places, you know. I just know that I'm going to screw up my life somehow. You know, there are all these messages that come at you. But it really is God the Holy Spirit, I believe, starting to help me to see that in his mind it is completely unacceptable for me to have any evil in me. That is not the being that he wants me to be. That is not the person he wants me to be in terms of holy conduct. And it is not the person he wants you to be. And it is not the lifestyle that he wants you to walk. He doesn't want you to be content with, oh, well, I most of the stuff I do is really cool. I have this one little thing, this group of things that I do that's kind of bad. But, you know, I'm only human. You know, he is not into I'm only human. He wants us to be an exact reflection of him. And I'm only human is not an exact reflection of him. So God is cleaning up my act. God is cleaning up your act. And as he does, he is making me, he's making you acutely aware of everything evil in you and assuring me, as he is assuring you, that he is the one that is in charge of cleaning up our act. So in this lesson, we'll see what he means. But first, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. Next Deacons Meeting, October 31st, 2015. We had one yesterday. We got plans for y'all. Happy birthday to Joel Prokoski. Joel Prokoski is the only person in the in Barah Ministries that badgers you into wishing him a happy birthday. You know, it's like, okay, dog, I know your birthday. I was going to say happy birthday. And he sent me text messages. He sent me an email. He sent me a FedEx. He said he had a plane fly over, you know, as I'm going to church. Joel's birthday, don't forget. I got a note here on the podium when I get in here. Don't forget Joel's birthday. We got slides. I mean, everybody says, there's no way I was going to forget Joel's birthday. And the funny thing is, nobody likes Joel that much, so I don't even know why we're wishing him a happy birthday. But happy birthday, Joel. So some Barah Ministries things. Barah Ministries has an e-book, And You Will Be Saved. And it is at the publications tab at www.barahministries.com. And Larry Collins set it up also this week that you can also read that book directly from your Barah Ministries app, which is very cool thing. Barah Ministries music is available at the music tab and on the app as well. So June has 40 songs on the website and on the app, and 10 brand new ones in her new album, You Ran After Me. I wish we could get some million copy sellers of those albums, don't you? That'd be cool. Like, a million people pay $2 for all of her songs. That'd be cool. All right, but that's not going to happen. That's just wishful thinking. Yeah, you don't know. God might make that happen. Barah Ministries app is available at the iTunes Store or at Google Play. Isn't that cool to say that? Oh, yeah, I'm in a church that's got an app at the iTunes Store. I didn't know how cool that was until a 7-year-old told me, Rory, you have an app. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But what it does, what the app does, it is allows you to put the Word of God in your pocket or purse. So you can download the app at iTunes or Google Play. If you haven't done it yet, you should. Play around with it. Let me know how you like it. And you can contribute to Barah Ministries online or on the app at About Barah Ministries, the drop-down menu, Contributions, and click to donate. So today's study, God is cleaning up our acts from the inside. God is cleaning up our acts from the inside. So in a previous lesson, I mentioned to you that I am certain, after 5 decades of being a Christian, that I don't know what the Christian way of life and the Christian way of living are. Well, I misspoke. I do know what they are. What I meant to say is that I know that I'm not living them. I can't really say I'm living them when there is a speck of sin or a speck of untruth in me. Were it not for God's grace, I would be worthless, and so would you. Thank God that He is cleaning up our acts. So Romans chapter 7, verse 24 and following, wretched man that I am. I know what that means because there are specks of untruth and evil in me. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death, our unredeemed bodies, which still have the flesh? Who indeed will set us free? Romans 7:25. Thanks be to God the Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for the deliverance. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind in the new self am serving the law of God. But on the other, with my flesh in the body, I am serving the law of sin. The deliverance is that the Lord has provided a divine way out of every human predicament. Think about the human predicaments you are in. God has provided the way out. Thank God that He is cleaning up our act. The return of my conscience, or perhaps merely the awakening of it, through the study of the book of Romans makes me acutely aware of the evil in me. And I am grateful for God's grace that He is cleaning up my act from the inside. You know, I can tell just by talking to Christians now if they've studied the book of Romans or not. I can tell, because if you don't study the book of Romans, you don't understand Christianity. And most Christians don't understand what Christianity is. And they just don't. You know, and that is not a cause of arrogance on our part. That's a cause of thank God, because it took me 50 years of being a Christian to study the book of Romans, and that should not be the case. So, the return of my conscience, or perhaps the awakening of it, makes me aware of the evil in me, but I'm happy because God the Father is perfecting me. He is conforming me to the image of His Son. He is conforming you and perfecting you in the exact same way. So thanks be to God. All praise to Him, because I rest knowing, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with Christ Jesus. You are in union with Christ, and so am I. The first passage in Romans chapter 8 reads like the Lord's last will and testament. I can't get off the first 5 verses because there's so much depth there. And I can't get enough of it. The Lord's last will and testament. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, being of sound mind and body, do hereby bequeath to every believer in Christ no condemnation. It was my voluntary pleasure to go to the cross, to shed my blood for all of you, and to create the possibility of relationship between you and the Godhead. And now that you have believed in me, I have had my Spirit, my Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, place you in union with me through the baptism of the Spirit, and we will be unified forever and ever. And even though you may condemn yourself, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, don't now, nor will I ever, no, not never, condemn you ever again. Because of our union, you are forever identified with my death, with my burial, with my resurrection from the dead, with my ascension, and with my session, the fact that I am seated at the right hand of my God and Father. And I did all of this for you so that you wouldn't have to pay yourself, especially that you would not have to incur my Father's wrath, because that is not fun when you are at the wrong end of incurring the Father's wrath for your sins. I have expiated your guilt. So there is never a time in your life when you should ever have to feel guilty again. I have delivered you from all of your spiritual struggles. I have given you a judicial justification. You will never have to worry about the lake of fire, the place reserved for those who have rejected a relationship with me. You will never have to worry. You will never find your place with them at the great white throne judgment. You have a share in my resurrection life, the Zoe life, as your pastor likes to call it, and you are a stockholder in heaven. Your polituma, your citizenship, is in heaven, not on planet Earth. And you hold an investment that will pay dividends for all eternity. And I will meet you face to face in the future at the judgment seat of Christ, where I will compensate you for the deeds that you have done in the body. And at my judgment seat, all of your dead works will be burned up. All of those things that you've done in self-sufficiency will be burned up. Why? Because I don't want anything near you to taint you with evil. All of your good works will be preserved for all eternity, and they will be rewarded handsomely. And until I meet you again face to face, I am entrusting you to God the Holy Spirit. That's a beautiful thing. I mean, can you imagine that that's what we do every week? What we do every week is hear the last will and testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he's telling you is all of the things that he has bequeathed to you. That you are heirs, that you have inherited, that you are in union, and that you are cared for and don't have a worry in the world ever again. That's an amazing thing. Let's take a quick music break, because, and the song is really appropriate because if you believe everything that the Lord just said to you, that has to make you glad. He has made me glad.
Made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Denny June has lost her mind. Can we call 911? Can we get somebody in here? Hey, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but it's Joel Prokosky's birthday. Happy birthday to Joel. Did I mention that? Today's study, God is cleaning up our acts from the inside. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of God, the Holy Spirit of the resurrection life, in union with Christ Jesus, has set you free from the law of sin and death. You know, I was just thinking how hard it must be for all the pastors today that are standing in their pulpits and telling their congregation how lousy they are and how they ought to follow the law and how they're sinners and making them feel bad and making them feel guilty. As if somehow the pastor doesn't go through the same thing. And during the song, I was thinking, this whole body is evil. This whole body is going to die. It's going to shrivel up and die and be fertilizer for daffodils one day. But this body is not me. And your body is not you. And all the things that this body does to talk to you and to influence you and to tell you that you're lousy, all the things this body does through the flesh to make you rebel against God and to reject rules and to reject authority and to do evil things, just understand, believers in Christ, that is not you. That is not who you are. And it can say anything it wants. It can give you any messages it wants to, but you must not believe those messages, because those messages come from a liar and the father of all lies. So Romans 8:2, for the law of God the Holy Spirit, the agent of the resurrection life in union with Christ Jesus, has set you free. You are now free from the law of sin and death. You are dead to sin. You are dead to the law. You are in the sphere of grace. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, being of sound mind and body, do hereby bequeath to every believer in Christ a mentor, a teacher, a guide, God the Holy Spirit. And I send him to you to lead you into all the truth. Isn't that great that the Lord Jesus Christ, while he sits at the right hand of the Father, has sent us a guardian to care for us. Follow his lead. You believers in Christ have been sanctified. And what that means is you have been set apart as special for a tremendous set of privileges. And it is God, the Holy Spirit's job to reveal all of those privileges to you and to show you how to use them. And if you do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, you will walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. If you do what God the Holy Spirit has told you to do, you will walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And when we think about God the Holy Spirit, he indwells you to give you the resurrection life. He is the comforter when you need to remember that I have nothing against you. I want you to remember always that you have my peace. And he will love you, this guardian that I'm giving you, will love you unconditionally just as I do. And he will keep you in the sphere of protection. He will be a minister. And he will dispense grace liberally to you when you make mistakes. Listen to him. He is responsible. God the Holy Spirit is responsible for making you know that you are elected to a set of privileges. You are the elect. That's what the Bible calls you. That you are being conformed to the image of God the Son. You are a spirit being. And it will be obvious to you when you're in your resurrection body that you are. And you are beloved. And the Bible says it over and over and over again. You are the divinely loved ones. And God the Holy Spirit wants you to know that. And the Spirit wants you to know that you will never be separated from God. You have eternal security. Once you have salvation, you cannot lose it. John 10:28, I give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You are dead to the law. That is, the law has no power over you because you are not under the law as believers in Christ. You are under grace. And grace is a provision that God has to meet rebellion with an unlimited capacity to love and forgive. The Spirit wants you to know that you are dead to sin. And even though you sin, that is not who you are. That's coming from the flesh, that body that will die. That sin is not the sovereign over you, because once you believe in Christ, Christ is the sovereign over you. You're in union with Him. And you are free from the body of this death. The Spirit will do His work in you inside, from the inside out, and you are to depend on Him for everything you need. Everything you need. And I wonder, do you do that? Do you depend on Him for every single thing you need, like a baby does? The parents. A baby doesn't get up in the morning thinking about what work he's going to do today. A baby gets up in the morning, opens his mouth, and waits for somebody to drop in a worm. That's what babies do. And when we're on our way out, and we're in the hospice, and somebody's taking care of us, and we're gargling the liquid in our lungs, we're dependent again. And during the first dependency and the last dependency and the complete dependency all through our lives, God the Holy Spirit is there for us believers to give us everything, because He has everything you need, because I have given it to Him for your benefit, the Lord says. This is the last will and testament of the Lord. He says, if you were an athlete, God the Holy Spirit would be considered your agent. Jerry Maguire. He is the agent of the resurrection life. He is going to show you how to get the most out of your spiritual contract with me, an eternal contract. After all, for you, the old self things have passed away. The new self things have come. And even though your unredeemed body contains the flesh, and even though your flesh is stronger than your will, the Holy Spirit is stronger than you both. He will work from inside you, and that's why He's indwelling you. And He will do battle with your flesh while simultaneously conforming you and your will to obedience to God. God the Holy Spirit will provide you with His enabling power. And as you know, this enabling power is the power of omnipotence. It is the power of God who has all the power. There is nothing that God the Holy Spirit is not able to do for you. Nothing is impossible to Him. Of all the gifts I leave you, He is without question the most important. And if you let Him, He will make everything you do effective. He will give you a spiritual life that is equivalent to diplomatic immunity. And when you create a crime, you will not be able to be prosecuted for it. And although there are consequences for your sins, He will use those sins to educate you through experience. You are out of the prison of sin and death. You are on parole. You are free. So do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Use it as an opportunity for good. Let the Spirit make your righteousness shine through the darkness of Satan's kingdom. You are a child of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 17, 16 and 17 say this: the Spirit Himself testifies with our human spirit that we are children of God the Father. Romans 8:17, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God the Father, and fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, if indeed we suffer with Christ, and we do, so that we also may be glorified with Him. We'll learn more about our inheritance in the next lesson. So when the Lord Jesus Christ promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else, and there is no other name under heaven that has been given to mankind by which we must be saved, except the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is not at all confusing. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, for the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Closing song, Because He Lives.
Sent His Son, He called Him Jesus, He came to love, heal and forgive, He lived and died to buy my pardon, and Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll face life's final war.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank You for making us holy. We thank you for giving us someone we can count on. And we appreciate the fact that we can be dependent on you and that you're going to provide everything. Thank you for providing us with God the Holy Spirit to teach us, to guide us, to be our trusted advisor when we face the dichotomies of life. And all we ask is that you continue to make us aware of your shaping of us so that we can take that and have an effect on all those around us, one person at a time. We pray that you protect our steps as we go out into the world. And Father, we pray that you keep us on the narrow way, completely dependent on you and your guiding, mentoring spirit. We ask this through Christ, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.